All right, tonight, let's go. John chapter 4. This is, as I said, number 7 in the Healing Examples series, John chapter 4. And I want you to pay close attention because I'm only going to preach for like maybe 30 minutes. And yeah, that's fine for you, I know. So John chapter 4, and this is that incident of the nobleman, his son, who was healed. But I want to preface all of the reading of the scripture tonight with just saying this, that when it comes to your faith, and in particular faith for healing, nobody can really believe God for you. Now, let me explain that. Just in the same way that somebody else can't receive Christ into your heart for you, you have to do it on your own, right? People can't really believe God for you. They can believe God with you, but ultimately, you have to get involved at some point. They can't receive forgiveness for you either. And really, they can't receive healing for you. Now, let me explain that there is a little bit of a qualification there, because when you have a baby, you carry your baby. You know, when Austin was a baby, we carried him, right? I mean, I have a picture of him in my office. He's this tall sitting next to me. Now he's bigger than I am. When Jesse was a baby, you carried her, correct? When Bree, I mean, we can just go right around the room. But the fact is, now you don't carry them anymore. There was a time it was appropriate to carry them because, frankly, they couldn't walk themselves. What are you going to do, just let them lay there? You know, they couldn't even roll over. You remember when they were so little, they'd just lay there and look at you and smile? And you thought they were smiling at you because they really were happy about you. And all it was the, you know, the gas that they had that was going on. But anyway, they're laying there. They can't do anything. Then they start to kick their legs, and as they grow, they start to, you know, they get where they can turn a little bit, and then you're thrilled when they can turn over. And then you get them on the rug in the living room, and they're down on a blanket, and they turn over, and all of a sudden, one day, they get up on their knees. And then they get down, and then they do that bacon thing, you know, and they bounce around on the rug like that. And, yeah, I'll bet when you were a baby, you were like, pow, pow, yeah. So, but the thing is, they go through these stages, and then all of a sudden, they're up on hands and knees, and now they're crawling, and then one day they get over to a couch or to a chair, and they reach up and they stand up. Now they're big stuff. They're standing up. And then you go over there and say, come on, and they won't let go. I mean, Austin would turn and look at us and like, I'm not going to do it, you know, and then go back to the couch, you know. And then one day he turned around and walked all the way across the room. And he's been walking ever since. And you each have your individual stories on how it happened with your children. I know that. I understand that. But the fact is, as they grow, they progress. And you thought it would be so great when they were walking. And then after a little while, your back is really getting worn out because you're like this all the time, trying to keep them from running into stuff. And, you know, it's just part of the process. But when there are babies, you pick them up and carry them. And you need to do that. Because if you don't, they'll get in trouble. They could get hurt. It could even cost them their lives. You have to look after them that way. It's the same way, spiritually speaking. You can carry people for a period of time when they're not developed yet. But as they grow and develop, then they need to start walking on their own 2 feet. Just as in the natural, now in the spirit, they need to walk on their own 2 feet as well. So really, others ultimately cannot do your praying for you. Yeah, but my mom prays really well, and she does my praying for me. Well, that's a world of an excuse, but it's not going to work. Ultimately, God's going to hold you responsible, so you need to get after it yourself. Can I hear an amen? It's the truth. Luke chapter 12, verse 28, or 48, rather, just mark this down. I'm not going there, but that's the verse of scripture that Jesus said, to whomsoever much is given, all right, you remember it, of him shall be much required. So if you know that you should be praying and you're not. Now you're just in plain old disobedience. And that could be a bad thing for you. So you need to do what you know to do. When you've received it, move on with it. Praise God and walk it out. Now in John chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 43, but I'm going to read it, our foundation, out of the Amplified tonight. I love this Amplified Bible. I was given this Amplified Bible on, I wrote it down, it was back in July of 81, and August 31st, 1981. Wow. Had it ever since. Love it. John chapter 4, and in fact, Mike and Jane, my brother-in-law and sister, they're probably watching tonight too up in Minnesota. They're the ones that gave me this Bible, and I have preached out of it and used it, and what a blessing. Here we go. John chapter 4, beginning there in verse number 43, and I will read through verse 54. This is the Amplified Version, so pay close attention. You can follow in your Bible as well. But after these 2 days, Jesus went on from there into Galilee, although he himself declared that a prophet has no honor in his own country. However, when he came into Galilee, the Galileans also welcomed him and took him to their hearts eagerly, for they had seen everything that he did in Jerusalem during the feast, for they too had attended the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son was lying ill in Capernaum. Having heard that Jesus had come back from Judea into Galilee, he went away to meet him and began to beg him to come down and cure his son, for he was lying at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and miracles happen, you people never will believe, trust, have faith at all." The king's officer pleaded with him, "Sir, do come down at once before my little child is dead." Jesus answered him, "Go in peace. Your son will live." And the man put his trust in what Jesus said and started home. But even as he was on the road going down, his servants met him and reported saying, "Your son lives." So he asked them at what time he had begun to get better. They said, "Yesterday during the seventh hour, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the fever left him." Then the father knew that it was at that very hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son lives." And he and his entire household believed. They adhered to, trusted in, and relied on Jesus. This is the second sign, wonder, work, miracle that Jesus performed after he had come out of Judea into Galilee. So that's the account of the nobleman and his son. And this nobleman goes to find Jesus. And the estimates are that he traveled somewhere in the range of 15 to 20 miles to get to Jesus. And it was, that's a bit of a journey. It probably took him the whole day. You can't ride the horse fast that whole 20 miles, 15 miles. You have to let him rest. You got to water him. You got to take care of him and give him a break. So there's, it took some time, plus the terrain and all of that. But as I read that in the Amplified, and of course I read it in the King James as well today, one thing stood out to me as I looked at this. This healing was by faith alone. Do you see that? It was by faith alone. Now, the Lord has provided many different aids for us to bring healing manifestations, but you don't see any of them happening here. You didn't see anybody lay hands on this boy. Nobody laid hands on him. Nobody anointed him with oil. There were no manifestations of the Holy Spirit. There wasn't a word of knowledge. There wasn't an anointing, as I said, with oil. There was no prayer of agreement prayed over him. No binding and loosing. No rebuking of whatever was on him at the time. A handkerchief wasn't loosed on him or laid on him. None of those occurred in this account. Do you see that? So what we need to gain from that is that the Lord has multiple methods whereby he can heal. And it doesn't have to, and neither will it be the same every time. Now, we have promises, in the Word. Laying out of hands is great. Casting out the devil is great. Prayer of agreement is great. Anointing with oil is great. Manifestations of the Spirit, those are all for us. Those are all valuable, aids to and ways that the Lord brings healing into manifestation. But my point is, you don't see it happening here at all. The father is 15 to 20 miles away from his sick son, and he's got an issue going on, and he's this royal officer, you know. And he kind of expected Jesus to do what he asked him to do. He wanted Jesus to go home with him. And the man, Jesus wouldn't do that. Now, on this occasion here, what we see in this event that took place, this healing of this boy, you back up to verse 43, where we started, and he departed out of one place. He had been where in Jerusalem. The Samaritans were come to him. Anyway, you'd have to go back and pull it all into context. But he goes into Galilee. Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Do you remember in Mark chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, that's where Jesus said that, you know, he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk, and the original language reads those with minor ailments, and he was able to get them healed. So he got the people that had hangnails and headaches, and a headache can be a bad thing, don't get me wrong. Minor ailments. He could there do no mighty work. And what that means is he couldn't. Didn't say he wouldn't, said he couldn't. And the scripture goes on and says he what? He marveled at their unbelief. So in this case here, there was honor going on. And this man came to Jesus. There was respect going on here. He had just left the place where there was no honor being extended to him. Oh, this is Joseph's boy. We knew him growing up. And that's a very, very tempting thing to fall into in regards to thinking you know how God's going to do what he's going to do. And I've got news for you. You do not. And the minute you start thinking along the lines that you've got it all figured out, you're going to step back and realize you're not the one calling the shots. He's the one calling the shots. Amen? Yeah, he's the one calling the shots. This nobleman, he was sincere. I believe he was respectful. I believe that he was compassionate, very compassionate. He was upset about his son. But I believe he was a man, being that he was a royal official, when he told people to do things, you know, they'd do them. And you have to remember that Jesus, in the natural, he came without any pomp and circumstance. And to many people, Jesus was just a common guy. Now, we know that he was God in the flesh and all that, and all that he is to this day. But people didn't recognize that. All they knew was that this carpenter's son, that marvelous things are happening when this guy speaks, when he touches people. My. And so the nobleman wanted him to come home with him and begged him to do just that. Now, last time when I ministered on this a few weeks ago, because we had an illustrator last week, but 2 weeks ago, I was talking about how Naaman, you remember in the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman goes to Elisha's house. Do you remember that? And Naaman, remember, had leprosy. And he gets there, and he's just like, you know, in fact, he brought a bunch of money with him. He brought gold and stuff with him. And he had it all figured out how this was going to transpire. He had it all figured out. You know, this prophet, he's heard a lot about this prophet. This prophet's going to come out, wave his hand over me, maybe lay hands on me, and God will heal me, and I'll give him the money and give him the gift. And then just think about that for a minute. If God had done it that way, Naaman would have been patting himself on the back that, boy, I had this all figured out. And a lot of times people like to try to figure out how God's going to do what God does. But I've never been able to figure it out yet. We have some generalized, you know, you lay hands on somebody and we lay hands on people. And the Bible says you lay hands on the sick, they recover. Amen. Sometimes we're surprised, as anybody else, that they recovered as fast as they did. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you don't even get to lay hands on them. Sometimes you speak the word. I mean, I've had an occasion I'll never forget. It was Abby Varnum. She was Abby Wynn at that time. And she had I guess she probably was Abby Varnum already. But anyway, she had a lump on her back and asked for prayer. And we prayed and never laid hands on her, just prayed, spoke the word, extended our hands, and believed God. She got home. She checked. It was gone that afternoon. Okay? And she didn't know when it left, how it left. She didn't really care. We've had people get healed like that. They don't know when it actually occurred, but it did. And so, you know, all you can do in any of those cases is say, Lord, I don't know how you did that. How'd you sneak that in? How'd you do that? You know, how'd you do that? It's like when I had that big lump on my wrist a year ago. And it was standing off my wrist, I mean, a good 3/4 of an inch probably. Oh, it hurt like you wouldn't believe. And the Lord instructed me to not wear the brace I had worn. And I remember when I put the wristband over my wrist that day, I was going to go out and hit the tennis ball. And I remember when I put the wristband, because it was a tight wristband, and I wear these bigger wristbands, because in the summertime when it's 100 degrees and you're out hitting, you're sweating, and it'll run down onto your hand, onto the racket. Well, anyway, put this big wristband, and I remember it was tight when I put it on. And so I felt it push on that thing. But it wasn't tight enough to, you know, remove it, whatever. And it hurt. And I had been to see the doctor about it anyway. So long story short, I'm out there, and I started to hit, and the Lord said, no pain, right? And I'm like, no pain. And so I went over and I grabbed, sat down, took a drink, and I pulled that back, and that thing was gone, completely gone. And I'd never felt when it left. I didn't feel anything. How did you do that? You know, you start wondering how that these things happen, how things disappear, how a broken bone is mended, we had a lady in here that had suffered a stroke years ago and supernaturally healed and was back in church within 7 days. Walking, talking, moving, healed totally. And she had a pretty major stroke. So now, how do those things happen? See, the tendency is to try to, because we all have brains, and we have a tendency to try to think, okay, here's what the Lord did. No, just forget it. You don't know. You don't know how he did it. And that's all right. We don't need to know how. That's not our job. Our job is to trust. Can I hear an amen? Amen. That's our job, is to trust. So, you know, in this particular instance, none of those things that I mentioned happened. This happened by faith alone. Isn't that neat? But we'll read on in this in just a moment. But as I said, Naaman had it all figured out. But always remember this, God resists the proud. And prideful people are the ones that want to keep their thumb on it, want to keep their understanding intact. They want to be able to figure the whole thing out. In fact, Naaman was going to tell Elisha how he should minister to him to bring it about. And if you read this account again that we just read in John chapter 4, that's essentially what the nobleman was trying to do. Come to my house. Come with me. And Jesus says in verse 48, except you see signs and wonders, you'll not believe. See, back up in 47, he heard Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, went unto him and besought him that he would come down. Come down where? Come down to his house and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. It was serious. And you can understand a father's compassion and the seriousness of the moment. But Jesus said to him, except you see signs and wonders, you'll not believe. So what does the nobleman do? He doesn't go, oh, you know, you're right. No, what does he do? He presses on. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. So he doubles down and actually insists, come down. Now, as I said, he had some faith, but he was really walking by sight. And why he wanted Jesus to come down, he wanted to see Jesus, lay his hands on him, see his boy healed, because he had heard of Jesus laying hands on people. Well, you know, there are other places where the woman with the issue of blood reached out and just touched him. And there are other places in the Word of God where people touched Jesus and got healed. And the transferal of the anointing took place. So you can't just put God into a box and he's going to do it this way, every time. And see, you come with me and I'll get to see, because Jesus just said, except you see, you're not going to believe. So I think that's interesting. But really this particular story, wow, as I read it, there's a key coming up in the very next verse. And we'll get there in a minute. But you don't tell Jesus how he's going to work things out in your situation. Do you hear me? You don't. Because we're just humans. We are just people. And that, you know, trying to instruct God on how he's going to do it. Okay, you come over here to my house and you do this and you do this, 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 and then everything's good, and then we can relax. I know some people that really don't want to have more of the Lord in their life. They want what they can get from God. You ever known somebody like that? I'm sure you do or have. But, you know, that doesn't work. You need to, of course, go after him with all of your heart. You know, the Bible said in Luke chapter 7, verse number 9, Jesus said this about the centurion. We're not going there tonight. But Jesus said, I have not seen so great faith. No, not in all of Israel. And do you remember the situation with the centurion? The centurion was the one who was under the authority, and he said, you know, I say to this one, go, and he goes, and this one, come, and he comes, and all that. And he said, all you need to do is give the command, and my servant will be healed. You just give the command. I understand giving commands. Because I do it. And I see that you command sickness and it goes. You have an authority that I can't touch. You give the command and sickness will obey. And Jesus said he's not seen faith like that in all of Israel. Now, his disciples were there, right? So what was he saying? This centurion has greater faith than any of you guys. And that included Peter, James and John, Andrew and the rest, Judas, not Iscariot. We've been on that for how many weeks on Sundays? Judas, not Iscariot, you know. Anyway, so I looked at that and I thought, my goodness sakes, you and I can have faith. It's possible for you and I to have faith that would impress Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? He was impressed with this guy's faith. He was impressed with the centurion's faith. I have not seen so great a faith. No, not in all of Israel. All the man did was choose to believe. Would you like to have faith that would impress the Savior? How would you like it to be said of you one day when you get to heaven and Jesus goes, this one down on, when they were down on the earth, they had faith like you just, oh my goodness sakes. Well, he's not going to do that because he's not going to blow anybody's horn. He tooted this guy's horn. Sure he did. Not in a wrong way, but it got his attention. And I'll tell you something, when you believe God, and you remember the other, say the word only and my servant will be healed is what the man said. Say the word only. We're going to look at that other incident in the coming weeks of when Jesus heads to that man's house and he sees Jesus come and he said, tell him to come no further. I don't need you to come any further. And the person was healed in the house. I mean, my goodness sakes, we'll go into that. But what did the word say about you and I? The works that I do, Jesus said in John 14, verse 12, shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do. Somebody's needing prayer right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we don't know what's going on with that siren, but we ask you to minister to that situation. We speak peace and calm and life over that thing, over whatever's going on. If somebody's hurt in an accident, thank you for healing. Thank you for calm. Thank you for showing the law officers, any technicians, any of the emergency squad, show them what to do and how to do it. The ambulance attendants, Lord God, I thank you and praise you right now for a good outcome there and a peace over the family and families affected by whatever's happening right now. We speak peace and calm over that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We do believe it. Amen. All right, so let's jump back over here to this incident in John chapter 4. Jesus said to him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. So the nobleman again doubles down. He says unto him, sir, come down here. My child died. And now he's getting a little more desperate. You know, when he left 15, 20 miles back a day ago, the son was near death. Now he's here. And now Jesus is not saying he's going to go. And remember this, Jesus is totally led by the Holy Spirit. Totally led by the Holy Spirit. He said, I won't do anything except I see what my Father is doing and how my Father does it. And that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to say what he tells me to say. And so he wouldn't step away from that. He wouldn't just grant people favors just because, you know. This guy tried to do that. Naaman tried to do that to Elisha in the Old Covenant. And we'll see other, there are other places in the Word where that kind of thing happened. But Jesus then turns to him. He said to him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And look at the next phrase. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. That is where everything changed for this man. That is where the miracle occurred. This is where everything changed. Remember, and we've heard it said before, one word from God changes everything. Amen? One word. Now, here's the thing. People don't get before the Lord long enough, nor intense enough, nor get quiet enough to hear from God pertaining to what their situation requires. Romans 10, verse 17. Let's just turn over there quickly. Leave your finger in John 4. Well, we may not come back there, but Romans 10, verse 17, you know this verse. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word, the rhema of Christ, Christos, or the anointed, spoken word. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by that word, that rhema word that's anointed. How did God create the heavens and the earth? He said, light be. That was a anointed spoken word, amen? Amen. And it created. Sure. That's the same that word that's used in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4, where the word said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word or spoken word that comes from the mouth of God. So here it is. This anointed spoken word is how faith, see, comes. Now, I tell you what, this man back here in John 4, I guess you can turn back there if you like. This word that Jesus gave to him, go thy way, thy son lives. That was an anointed rhema spoken. Rhema is just a word, means a spoken word. The logos is the written word. This is the logos. When I speak the word, it's the rhema. Thy son liveth. Go thy way, thy son lives. And look at the next six words. And the man believed the word. You see that? I mean, you can read the rest of it, that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. You need to hear what the Lord wants you to do. He's the one who's in charge. Get alone with him. Find out. He will tell you. You know, oh, Pastor, I don't know. I can't hear from God like that. I can't hear from. You know what you have to do? You have to turn TV off. You have to put the other things down. You have to put the phone down. You got to put the turn the computer off. You got to put any other stuff away and get alone with God. If you have to go and walk and talk to him while you're walking, get alone. You need to get alone to hear from God. And he will give you the key to your situation. You know, I mean, this is a key right here. This was the key. This man wanted to see. He's begging Jesus to come. He did it twice. And Jesus said, you won't, except you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. And the guy just, chewing right over his head. Come with me. Come in here, my boy, except ere he die. And so Jesus cuts to the chase and says, go your way, your son lives. Now, if the man had said, oh, come on. Oh, let's be serious here. He's going to live. You need to come with me. It didn't say that. What did it say? The man believed the word. If you believe, and this has been our foundation on Sundays, you'll see his glory manifested, right? I'll manifest myself to him. He told Martha at Lazarus' tomb, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. Okay, you need to believe, but what is this that you're believing? You need to hear the anointed word. There's a particular word. What do? We're going to figure it out. We're going to figure out how God's going to do this, and then you're going to play by my rules. Here's what we're going to do. And the Lord says, that's not the way it's going to be. Now, it is his will to heal. Obviously, we know that. He wants that. But you and I need to hear the word from God, what he says about it. What does he say in particular about the situation? That's why I've had people that want me to pray over a situation right away or something on that order. And people say, well, stand on the word. Well, you know, it's a big book. And there's a lot of words in there, amen? What word are you standing on? You need to get the particular word from the Lord that you are to stand on. And if he tells you anything particular, then you need to do it. Remember at the wedding feast in John 2? Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Oh, these all tie together. This miracle of the nobleman's son being healed was the second miracle. The turning of the water into wine at Cana was the first one. So this is right on the heels of that. Amen. So it's powerful. A word, that word that he had, that moment, from the Lord Jesus Christ to this man, the man didn't argue about it. He believed, and he turned, and he went his way. And after a short ways down the road, the people met him, and they said, hey, and, you know, I don't know how, I guess you could look at it and try to figure the timeline out, but he went a distance. Go ahead, stand to your feet. We're done. He went a distance, and they said, your son lives. And they said, well, what time was it that this happened? It wasn't like he was trying to be a smart aleck or something, like try to disprove Jesus. He knew exactly that it was when Jesus said this. That's when he got healed, because they confirmed it was around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. What a blessing. One word from God will change everything. One word from the Lord. What is it? What is the word that you need tonight? Whatever it is, the Lord's wanting to provide it. The Lord is wanting to provide it. Sure he is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, bow your head with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight and give you glory tonight that the word is alive in each of us. And Father, we thank you so much for that spirit-directed word into each of our hearts. Regarding our lives, regarding what we need to do. Lord can tell you to do one thing, me to do another. He can tell everybody in and he will, in particular, whatever they need to do. Chris, whatever you need to do, he's going to reveal to you. And once you know that, then you have the victory. It's already yours, long before it's manifested. If you have the word from God, here's what you do. And you begin to do that. You believe it. You do it. You believe it. You do it. You win. And it's just a matter of time before the manifestation occurs. Where we have, quote, faith failures, when people try to figure it out themselves and try to work a formula themselves and don't hear the anointed word from God on the situation. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. But here's that key. You got to get quiet long enough to listen to what he's telling you to do. Father, thank you. We praise you and bless you for the word. We receive it tonight, and we receive it in faith. In Jesus' name.